This is MTN Shills running with the times, only on MTN TV, the podcast. And I am Major Daughter. Welcome, welcome, welcome to all our listeners and viewers around the world. Meet us in the comments. We are live there. Engage, ask your questions, tell you what. Share this broadcast right away. And if you have not subscribed yet, what are you waiting for? Because this is the hottest show on the planet. And today we have one of those hottest guests. We are talking email marketing and list building. Let me tell you, there are those who think it is dead. Well, it's not dead. Let's hear it from someone who's been in this for over 15 years. My guest is a master, a pro in this. She's been in the industry of marketing for over 15 years, from advertising one of the world's most iconic brands. So, small businesses, you are counted in. Nonprofit, we've got you covered. Why don't you tell everyone you know that will benefit from this to jump in, and we'll get to know more about it right after this.
MDN TV, the podcast. Be abreast with Now. Never miss a thing with MDN TV, the podcast. We love to keep you in the present with diverse goodies from secular and non-secular subjects of global interest. Join us. Grab more from these series. Listen to our podcasts. The Undeniable Choice.
Well, the undeniable choice indeed for today is Kendra Coleman. Look, she's the queen of marketing. She says her mission is to make marketing strategy and advice affordable for every business. So thanks a gazillion times, Kendra, for saying yes, for availing yourself, your patience, and for sharing your experience and your wisdom with the rest of the world. I want you to take this time to tell our listeners and viewers why email marketing is not dead, why list building is still the answer for everybody, even if you're on a shoestring budget. Kendra, the mic swings to you now.
Thank you, Major. So happy to be here. Thanks for having me. So email marketing, first of all, just like you said, it's not dead. It's definitely not dead. It hasn't been dead. We've been saying email marketing has been dead for decades, it feels like now. And it is still one of the highest return on investment marketing activities you can do. Depending on which surveys you look at, email marketing brings in $38 to $42 of revenue for every dollar you spend on it. Where else can you get that kind of return?
Nowhere.
Right. It just doesn't happen. You can't get that kind of return on that investment anywhere else except for email marketing. Email marketing is permission-based. So if someone gives you permission or signs up for your email list, downloads something that you give them, something along those lines, right? And they're inviting you into their inbox. And guess what? You get to choose when you contact them, because you're sending them emails, right? Right now, if you are advertising or posting on social media, I control when I go on social media, and I may or may not see whatever it is that you're sharing, right? Yeah. Email marketing contacts me whether I'm in social media or not, right? Everybody checks their email. I think it's something like 90% of people check their email at least once a day.
Yes.
It's not dead. It doesn't matter. Even the younger group, while they still interact with brands on different scales and different bases, it's still all about email, because they still have an email account. They're still using it. They have to use it for school. You know, you can reach pretty much every age group through email marketing, and you control it, which is amazing, right?
And it's yours. You've got that ownership, which is what makes it more beautiful.
Yes. I love that you said that, because that's one of my favorite lines. I heard this several years ago and I use it and I've stolen it all the time. And that is, Social media is rented land. You own email marketing. You are right on, Major.
I love it. Social media is rented land. Did you hear that?
Well, tell us, what's the very first marketing thing someone should do when they've just starting their business?
So when you're just starting out, first thing you need to do is start building your email list. Don't bother with a website and everything else. Get an email marketing system where you can create a landing page and a way for people to connect and contact you. One of the things that I neglected in my business when I was starting out was my own email list. I was spending all this time investing time and effort into my clients' emails, and I wasn't spending any time on mine. And that negatively affected my business as I didn't grow as fast as I could have or should have because I wasn't staying top of mind with the people in my network. That was a problem. That was a big mistake that I did. And so I was just actually talking to a friend of mine who has a podcast and she does a lot of work on volunteering. And she's the first thing she's done is started her email list. She hasn't even started her business. Right now, it's like a side hustle hobby of hers for the podcast. But she's going to be so set up when she's ready to launch her business because she's already growing her email list. She owns contacts that she can reach out to right now at any time, which is amazing.
So what you're saying is that it's possible to start with marketing your business before you have a website. Please break that down for someone who's thinking, I thought I need authority as in website first, owned media.
Yep. So a lot of people do that. And I'm not saying that, you know, if you have the time and effort or time and energy and money, go ahead, start the website too. But even when you're ramping things up, the first thing you need to do is get a landing page going. So you just get one landing page with a way for people to connect with you. And then you can send them welcome emails because you can send blogs, links to podcasts, links to videos if you're on YouTube. Wherever you want to connect with people, you can literally do that with just one landing page. And almost every email marketing system allows you to create that sign up landing page within it. And then you can go ahead and build your social media profiles and then build your website. You can do things at a more reasonable pace than I think a lot of people assume. And that's what's really, really cool.
And at a more affordable place, let's talk about growing that email list itself, because for some it's a daunting experience. I mean, where does one start? What are the best ways to grow one's email list?
So when you're growing, when you're looking to grow your email list, I like to provide value. If you're a retail store, have a sign up. If people give you their email address, that you'll give them a discount. If you have, or, you know, it's like an online store type thing. If you are a business-to-business service provider, you need to create that value. You never want to ask anybody to just join your email list. Nobody wants any more email, right? We all get enough email. But I sign up for new email services or new email newsletters on a regular basis because of the value that they're providing. So sign up for, you know, sign up for this download that I have, or sign up for whatever the value is that you're going to provide. If you are a nonprofit and like an animal shelter, you can have an adoption guide or tips on how to get your new adopted pet to answer to a new name or whatever it happens to be. There's just so much power in that value. A lot of people don't want to do email marketing because they're worried that they're going to be bothering people. And as long as you look at it as you're adding value, you're never bothering anybody.
Yes.
So when you're looking to grow your list, again, start with that value. Once you've started with that value, then I want you to put it everywhere. A couple of my favorite places to put your email is in your email signature. You can have people sign up down there. So in your regular Outlook or Gmail email, right? You can go ahead and put a signature and a way to get a download so that way they're signing up for your marketing emails.
Yes.
You want to put it in the bios of all of your social media profiles. So a lot of people are finding success interacting with people inside Facebook groups, on LinkedIn, things like that. So when you comment on somebody else's post in a Facebook group or on LinkedIn or wherever you happen to be, people look you up. They want to see, okay, should I believe this? Is this real? What does this person know? Because as we all know, everything you read on the internet isn't exactly true. So when you're doing that, people look you up. Give them a way to connect with you and learn more. Send them to that landing page and that value. Then you want to, one of my favorites is if you do have a website, you have this 404 error page. So if you've moved a link or someone types in a URL incorrectly inside your website, or, you know, it's an old expired link, all of that happens all the time. Leverage your 404 error page. Have a way for them to get that value if they end up in the wrong place before they go everywhere else. That's one of my favorites that I love. So we've got your email signature and your regular emails, right? Not your email marketing. We've got your 404 error page, and we have your social media bios. A fourth place to put it is on your homepage. Pop-ups are huge. Having a pop-up gets so much response. They are annoying, and as a marketer, I really don't like them, but they're too effective to ignore. So you really have to go ahead and leverage it for that power. So that's another one. And then the fifth one is, depending on the length of the value of what you have, and if you're like a retail store or something like that, have it on the collateral that you hand out. So if people come up to a register in your store, have them sign up there. If you are a business-to-business service provider or nonprofit and you have a business card, give them a QR code on the back of the business card. Whatever that connection is that's in person, get their email list. Get them on your email list. So that's five ways to grow your email list. Again, it all circles back to providing value. It's all about value. It's not about emailing people or spamming people. Nobody wants spam. Nobody wants to create spam, except for spammers, right? So we want to create value and engage with people. And that's what's key. And that's really what you want to emphasize.
Yes. Now that you've got that right, look, this is so powerful, because who would have thought that you can actually put this on your social media profiles, and that it will be so effective because everyone does look at it.
Mm-hmm.
That is massive.
Well, and I love to view social media as a way to grow my email list, because I don't own social media. We talked about it. You identified it, right? It's rented land.
Yes.
So you're the whole reason for social media is to get people to connect, to know, like, and trust you to the point where they want to engage with you and sign up for the value that you provide through your email newsletter. And then you own that contact. You don't own it until they join.
Hmm. So let's dive in sideways. You've got your email list. You've got your list now. It doesn't matter how many people are there already. I want us to talk about, how often does one now send emails? How do you now navigate that space of you taking action? Because some people have piles and piles of email lists that they never use. And could one also leverage the advantage of other people's email lists who are sort of in the same field? How does one really strike a balance in as to when do you send? Do you take advantage of other email lists that you have access to, Kendra?
Great questions, Major. I love these questions. I get them all the time. So the first one is really about, how often do you send? Well, I get emails that I actually like every day. I've got one person that sends me emails every day. I do not send emails every day because that is way too much for me. I don't actually make that amount of content. So you can send anywhere from daily to monthly. Do not send less often than once a month because people will forget that they signed up for your email list. And I'm telling you this from experience because I used to have a sometimes once in a while email newsletter because I didn't want to bother people. And then when I started being consistent, my business grew. It was a direct correlation. So it was amazing. I send weekly because I have my regular podcast. I have a lot of different things that I have to share. I'm in the launch mode. So in the next week or so, I'll actually be sending probably about 3 emails a week just for about 2 to 3 weeks. And then we go back to weekly again. And people can subscribe or unsubscribe from that list that's more frequent, I'll call it. Yes. So that's really key in terms of what you want. Figure out what your people want and what they can tolerate. I have a client, most of my nonprofits send twice a month, so every other week. I have a client that if they send more than once a month, they get a ton of unsubscribes. People do not want to hear from them more than once a month. And that's okay. So now we just send once a month. You can do some tests. You can do some questions. The biggest thing is to make sure that you're consistent with whatever you pick. And so if you ideally want to send weekly and your audience will take weekly, but you don't have time to do weekly, then don't do it. You want to do something that's consistent because that's building that know, like, and trust factor where people are going to buy from you. Yes. So that's first. And then second is, should you leverage someone else's email list? My recommendation is no. So do not buy email lists because email's permission-based. When you get something that you didn't sign up for, you're like, what'd I get this for? Yes. And you don't have a good reaction to it. Now, leveraging somebody else's audience, you can do. So you can be a guest blogger or a guest on a podcast or a show like this. You can be a guest. There's a lot of ways to leverage other people's email lists without sending it yourself to them. So I really recommend that you do not buy any lists, but that you can, if you want to leverage audiences, go ahead and do that through partnerships and through showing up and adding value to that person.
Now tell us about lead magnet. You always hear someone talk, and so many people talk about lead magnet. What are those and how does one create one?
So lead magnets are great. So from a value standpoint, they really help people solve a problem. The key to a lead magnet is providing your audience with something that's going to solve a problem that they have. Building, again, that know, like, and trust factor that they have with you. So when you're doing the, when you're creating a lead magnet, you want to think it's like, it's a how-to guide. It's a checklist. It's something that helps them do something better, easier. It gives them a quick win. It's simple, easy for them to follow. And to get it, they have to sign up for your email list. That's the key. And that is a huge piece of value, especially for business to business service providers. I use that all the time. There's a ton of it that you can use in business to consumer marketing and retail marketing, nonprofit marketing, all of that adds value. But in business to business services, it is key. If you do not have a lead magnet or something that people are downloading, freebie download, white paper, whatever you want to call it, you're missing out because people want value and they're willing to pay for it with their email address. That's the whole idea behind the lead magnet.
It's currency. Yes.
So the other thing to say is that when you're looking at checklists, how-to guides, 5 steps to this, 7 steps to something else. Again, you want them to have a quick win. You want it to be simple. I usually recommend that if you're just starting out, you start off with a PDF. Those are the easiest to create, but you can do mini courses. You can do so many, you can do webinars. You can do so many different things as your lead magnet. Whatever is going to fit your business and your audience best is what you would want to create.
Exactly. How does one define their target audience? Because here's one of the things that I've picked up in terms of email marketing. Well, I've subscribed to some email lists, and then you find that some things that you really get don't really apply to you. Does it really matter who's in your audience? Or you've got to really narrow down your audience. Tell us about audience. Maybe you should just broaden that up. Because sometimes someone will be concerned, like someone just sent a question asking, does it matter who is in my list? Because some people in my list, they are clients already. Some, they're not clients, but I don't think they'll be interested in this kind of content that I want to send out. Do I still go out and send it, or I narrow it? Gets complicated.
Great questions, Major. You can tell you really understand email marketing to be able to ask these types of questions, mm-hmm. because that's important. So when you're thinking about your target audience, first of all, you want to be something to someone, because you cannot be all things to all people, right? So it's okay to be narrowed down. When you're writing your emails, you want to write them to one person. And that one person that you're writing to should reflect most of your list. Now, when I'm working with nonprofits, they clearly have several different lists. Like, again, if we go back to the example of the animal shelter, they have donors, they have volunteers, and they have adopters, right? Those are the three main groups. And so you could technically send three different emails to those people. So you can segment your list into those groups. That is an option that you have, and there's a lot of power in that. However, what I do want to say is that you do need to be as specific as possible. You need to envision one person. So think about, if you're a small business owner, you want to think about who your favorite client is. Who are they? That's the person that you write to. If you're just starting out and don't have a list or customers yet, that's okay. Who do you want to work with? Yes. Who are they? What do they do? What do they do on weekends? Do they have kids? You really want to understand their motivations. I'm a little bit less rigid than I think a lot of marketers are. They're always like, they're age 25 to 36 and this and that. I don't care. I don't care if you're 25 to 36, things like that. Yes. I care more about what you feel, what questions you're asking, because I want to provide you with those answers. And so when I'm writing to my audience, it doesn't matter if they're 25 or 55, they're struggling with growing their business. And so when I send my emails, I'm trying to give them insight and help to grow their business, because that's the same pain point that they're coming from. So if you really understand the pain points of the people that you're targeting and the problems that you solve and the questions that they have, you can answer any question and be relevant to them so that they want to engage with your content. And again, that builds the know, like, and trust factor and gets them to purchase from you.
Amazing. What are some of the biggest mistakes that businesses and nonprofits, small, big, doesn't matter the size, you think are making when it comes to email marketing and list building?
So number one, they're not consistent. That is the biggest problem that I see from almost everybody that I encounter. Firstly, because they're worried they're bothering people. You don't want to worry that you're bothering people. Give them that consistency, because guess what? I can hit delete, you know? So again, if I gave you permission to email me on a regular, consistent basis. That's what makes an impact, right? And so that consistency is something that I see all the time. Another big thing that I see from people, again, is they think that they're bothering them. So they don't do email marketing. They think posting on social media is fine. They're not staying top of mind with their audience on a regular basis. So they don't do email marketing. Their sign-up forms don't work. So they haven't tested their forms in a while and they're not welcoming their subscribers.
I know it, culprit. Go on.
And then they're not welcoming their subscribers. So when somebody fills out your form on your website, even if they don't sign up for your lead magnet per se, that's okay. Still send them a welcome email. Thank you so much for inviting me into your inbox. You want to thank them for allowing you to contact them in this way. And so make sure that you're sending that welcome email. Those are really the biggest mistakes I see people making with email marketing and list building.
You talk about consistency and you've been saying that a lot. And you also talk about being regular and business people feeling they're bothering people. How does one really overcome that? I mean, let's be real. It's real. People think about it. They're already thinking how they're going to respond. I mean, the worst they could do is to unsubscribe or just read or just toss it away. I mean, but now.
Exactly. Exactly. What does it hurt you if they unsubscribe? You can be sad. It's fine. I take a minute when I see my unsubscribes and I'm like, oh, they don't like me anymore. And it can be a little bit personal, but that's the worst that can happen.
Yes.
Right? So yes. If that's the worst that happens, what do you have to be scared of? You've got other people that want to hear what you have to share. You need to know that you have a value, that what you have to share is something that other people don't know. That is so important. We take for granted what we know way too much. There's a lot of people that don't know what you know. It doesn't come as easy to them. That was something that was really hard for me to overcome. And you got to remember, people signed up to get your emails. They want them. They may change over time and they may unsubscribe, or you may change over time and really not want them on your list anymore later on. That's okay. Yes. Unsubscribing is great. I love it when people unsubscribe after I get over the fact that they don't like me anymore. And once they do, then I know that I've got people that really care and want to hear from me. And once you know that, and once you know that they want to hear from you, that gives you so much more power. That gives you a nice, small, and mighty email list that will get reactions and engagement. That's what you want. And if you're not consistent, then they forget about you. So again, they signed up for this. Give them what they asked for and what you promised them.
And that way you'll have a profitable email list. How long did it take you to get to this level? And if you had to change anything, would you change your strategy if you had to start again, Kendra?
So I did have to start again not too long ago. So yes. I have over 1,200 people on my email list right now, and they're almost all new. I changed my business from a full service marketing agency to a digital course and coaching and consulting business, and I needed all new contacts. So I started from scratch towards the end of 2021, and I have over 1,200 people now on my list that want to hear from me. And these are the strategies that I used for that. If I had to do it over again, I think I would do exactly what I'm doing now. I just would have done it a long time ago, and my list would probably be closer to 4,000 instead of 1,200, because I could have investing in my business, investing in my email list, not being too busy to work on my business. And because I was always so busy, I was working in my business, right? I wasn't working on it. I wasn't focusing on growing it. That was a problem. And so if I had to do it over again, I would have prioritized my business, my email list, and made sure that I was engaging with my customers, prospects, and clients on a regular basis.
We've come to the end of the show, but the conversation doesn't have to end with the show. How can our listeners and viewers find out more about you? Are there any courses you're offering, coaching? Can you help them grow their own email list?
Yes, especially with small to mid-sized businesses, you guys might want to do all of this yourself because it can get expensive to outsource it. And so if you're looking to grow your email list, you can just go ahead to kendracorman.com/1000, so /1000, and you can go ahead and sign up to get my guide on how to reach your first 1,000 subscribers. So again, it's kendracorman.com/1000. I always lead with value. Value is key. So go ahead, check it out. See if that fits you. If it doesn't, you don't like my emails, go ahead and unsubscribe. I won't be insulted, I promise.
Yes. And where else can they get in touch with you?
You can find me on LinkedIn, Kendra Corman. That's K-E-N-D-R-A and then C-O-R-M-A-N. So Kendra Corman, I'm on LinkedIn, Facebook, Instagram as Kendra Corman Coach, and online at kendracorman.com.
Yeah. What a masterclass. Look, now you know you can put that your email list on your email signature on your social media profiles on your homepage. She said, pop-up is irritating, but well, it's profitable. It works. So you still want to put it there and be consistent, be regular. I mean, provide value. That's what it's all about. Whew. This is just one thing that can change one's bank account. The business bank account, even the nature of the business, without doing so much. I believe that here you can get to spend less for more, and less is more. Kendra, what are your last words, your parting shots?
Well, thank you so much for having me. Thank you so much for tuning in. And if you want to do anything in marketing, my two tips for you are one, be consistent, and two, make sure you try it for at least 12 weeks before you say it's not working. But good luck in growing your business and your organization.
Thanks a gazillion times, Kendra. Now we know. Welcome that new subscriber. Easy. Just say thank you for welcoming me in your inbox. That's a line right there for anyone who's saying, what do I say? You've just got something. The website is in the description. All the links are in the description. If you're missing anything, feel free to ask for it and it shall be given from us to you. It's well done.
MDN Talk Radio. The mic swings to you. At MDN Talk Radio, the conversation is upbeat with life-enhancing chats moderated by personalities that matter. Exclusive conversations to keep our radio community interactive is with you now. Log on from the comfort of your couch or take us along in your palm as you go. Hear us. The undeniable choice.